would like to welcome all of our most honored guests to Shri Radha Gopinath Temple. Today is a very holy day. We are celebrating many wonderful festivals. It is Basant Panchami, the appearance day of Srimati Vishnupriya Devi, Sri Saraswati Puja, the disappearance day of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the appearance day of Srila Pundarik Vidyanidhi, the appearance of Sri Raghunandan Thakur, the appearance of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. This morning, during Srimad Bhagavatam, we spoke briefly about the most wonderful and exemplary life of pure unalloyed devotion, as was lived by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. This afternoon, we do not have so much time, but we will try to speak something on these other most important events that we are observing today. It is Basant Panchami, the beginning of the spring season, and the fifth day of the bright moon of this month of Magh. In Vrindavan, Basant Panchami is a very special festival, a day when Sri Sri Radha and Krishna are offered the fresh, fragrant, newly blossomed flowers of the spring. It is during this season that Sri Sri Radha Govinda perform their beautiful Raslila in the area of Sri Govardhan Hill. Srila Jayadev Goswami in his Gita Govinda has beautifully narrated the wonderful confidential Leela taking place at Sri Govardhan during the season of spring. It is the disappearance day of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was one of the most glorious and important of the acharyas of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Every morning at the time of Mangal Arati, devotees all over the world begin their day by singing the beautiful prayers that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has composed in glorification of the spiritual master. Gurvastakam, for the eight prayers glorifying Sri Guru, not only express the pure unalloyed devotion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur for his spiritual master, but teach all Vaishnavas for all time how to properly honor and understand philosophically the position of the spiritual master. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjvala Nilamani, and other great literatures that he has composed is very much a foundation of how we believe and how we understand the most essential truths of Krishna consciousness. The purports of Srila Prabhupada were very, very much after very deep and thorough studies of the commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada was in his time of meditating on how to somehow or other execute the order of the spiritual master, to propagate Krishna consciousness all over the world in the English language. Perhaps the most difficult, inconceivable task we can even try to imagine. Sometimes the spiritual master may tell you or me to do something, and we may think it is very difficult. How will I do it? It is not even practical. Srila Prabhupada, on his first day of meeting his Guru Maharaj, before he even accepted him as his Guru Maharaj, before there was even an introduction, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ordered him, "You are an intelligent young man, take the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the whole world and spread it in the English language." Srila Prabhupada was quite astounded. Such an order. No one has ever done it in history. And he is telling me, and I don't even know who he is. Srila Prabhupada presented some debate of how it wasn't practical or reasonable at this time. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was firm. There is only one need in this world, and that is Krishna consciousness. There is only one problem in this world, and that is forgetfulness of our original Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was just married and just begot his first son. He was wondering how to do it. But in his heart, he was meditating on this order. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told all of his disciples to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Some of them were very learned, empowered, and pure-hearted sannyasis, brahmacharis. But they could not fathom how it was possible. Some of the senior, most, and scholarly, and empowered of his disciples were sent to Europe, where they were in London and Germany. And they met some people and made some nice contacts and met some leaders of the state. But then they came back. They did not know what to do beyond that. After Srila Prabhupada retired from his family life, he went to Vrindavan. He was studying the commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on Bhagavad Gita. And there he came upon the famous verse from the second chapter, number 41. Vyavashayatmakabudhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka hinantascha bhutayo vyavashayanam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose. Their aim is one. The intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, this means one must accept the order of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. When Srila Prabhupada read that, he became so inspired. Such determination awakened in his heart that yes, the order of Guru must be done. Very much on the strength of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's simple words, Srila Prabhupada came to Bombay. He begged for a sea ticket, boarded Jaladuta, went alone with no money across the oceans to the Malecha and Yavana civilization of America. And with that determination of making his guru's order his life and soul, He spread this Krishna conscious philosophy and lifestyle throughout the whole world. Srila Prabhupada oftentimes attributed a significant portion of his success to this instruction of by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So how much we should place our head at the lotus feet of this great Acharya and worship him with great reverence and devotion. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was born in the province of Radhadesh, near the district of Nadia. The area is called Devagram. When he was born, in that room, something wonderful took place. There was a brilliant aura of shining light, pulsating and vibrating in such a magnificent way that all the relatives, friends, and neighbors came running to see, what is it? And then the life came to an end, and they saw this beautiful little child manifesting the most auspicious features of a Mahapurusha. He was so beautiful, so attractive, that the people of Devagram, they simply wanted to look at him and hold him. They were so attracted to him. Little did they know that he was an eternal associate of Krishna and Sri Radharani from Goloka Vrindavan, who had descended with a great mission to spread love of God throughout the world. His family were very exalted Brahmins. His father's name was Narayan Chakravarti. Narayan Chakravarti had three sons. The eldest name was Rambhadra Chakravarti. The middle son was named Raghunath Chakravarti. The youngest son was Vishwanath Chakravarti. From his earliest childhood, he was so immersed in always studying Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, while other children would go out to play, he had no interest. He simply wanted to study Srimad Bhagavatam and repeat that message to others. He became so learned. He had such a brilliant intelligence and infallible memory. Whatever he studied, whatever he learned, he would never forget. One time, when he was just a child, a very famous Digvijay Pandit came to Devagram. He was traveling all over the province of Bengal, challenging people to debates, and he was undefeated by anyone. The little child challenged him to a debate, completely defeated him. This elder, senior pundit was so embarrassed. He was practically suicidal. He felt so ashamed. How a little child has defeated me. But Rambhadra Chakravarti, the elder brother, he explained to this pundit, please know that my little brother is not an ordinary little child. Don't feel so bad, please. He is a very great soul. So then he did not feel so bad. Narayan Chakravarti, the father, had such love for Vishwanath. He just wanted to do everything and anything in the world to make him happy. So he decided that he should be married. He was very young, just a boy. Narayan Chakravarti asked his eldest son, Rambhadra, to somehow find a nice wife for his little brother. So he found a very, very beautiful young lady. Her actually young girl. She was chaste, She was very intelligent. She was pure, coming from a very, very respectable background. She had such good qualities. Her name was Vibha. And with the mother and father's permission, Ram Bhadra arranged for the marriage of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So little Vishwanath, in obedience to his parents, went through the formalities of marriage. But soon the parents were shocked in disbelief by how renounced he was. Although he was a little boy, he was like an ascetic. He just had no concern for anything of this material world. He was little boy, but he was like a sannyasi. And he was married. So they became very worried. They did not know what to do. But he was very much attentive to his studies. So he spent several years in Devagram and completed the preliminary studies of Vyakarana. After which, he had a natural burning in his heart that I must study the Bhakti Shastras. I must study Srimad Bhagavat very deeply. I must understand the teachings of the Six Goswamis. I must cultivate knowledge of pure unalloyed devotion to Lord Krishna. So with this burning, burning determination in his heart, he asked his parents' permission to study under a bona fide spiritual master. He left Devagram and went to Shayadabad. In Shayadabad there were many great devotees. One was Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti. Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti has a very interesting background. For those of you who know the wonderful pastimes of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, you know that one of his disciples was named Ramakrishna, whose little brother was Hari Ram. They were little boys, and their father was a very famous Brahmin who was a Shakta. And he asked them to collect some nice little sheep and lambs to bring back for offering to Goddess Durga. So Narottam Das Thakur and his dear friend Ramchandra Kaviraj preached to them. And Ramakrishna and Hari Ram both became devotees. And they went back to Narottam Das Thakur's ashram and they taught them how to chant the holy names. He taught them the Shastras according to Lord Chaitanya's teachings, and soon they became pure souls. They were chanting and dancing. They both took initiation. Hari Ram took initiation from Ramchandra Kaviraj and Ramakrishna from Sri Narottam Das Thakur. And the father was wondering, where is my children? But the children were in Narottam Das Thakur's temple, dancing in ecstasy and chanting the holy names. Finally, Narottam Das and Ramchandra Kaviraj told him, you should go back to your father, it's late. He was furious. What did you do with the little sheep? What did you do with the sacrificial offerings? We let them go. We gave them prasad and let them go. What are you doing? What is this Vaishnavism? And it's all bogus, nonsense things. He was a great scholar. And he brought the greatest scholars amongst the Shaktas to defeat them. But these little boys effortlessly explained what they had heard to Narottam Das Thakur and utterly annihilated all the greatest pundits and ministers of his father. And then what happened is this. The biggest scholar amongst the Shaktas, upon arguing with Hari Ram and Ramakrishna, he became a devotee. decided if Narottam Das Thakur is teaching them so much knowledge, I should surrender to him. Anyways, they were the greatest scholar in the whole area. Very pious man, very pure in heart. His name was Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. He used to stay near the bank of the holy river. And he saw, what is this? How this Hari Ram and how this Ram Krishna, they're just little children and they've become such great scholars. They're defeating the best of the pundits. And they're living so pure. They're always preaching and always chanting and always dancing. Who is this Narottam Das Thakur who has changed them in every way? I must surrender to him. In his heart he was thinking like this, I must surrender to him. And Narottam Das Thakur, by the arrangement of Krishna, understood. Soon after, Narottam Das, Ramchandra, Kaviraj and others decided to come to take their bath in the holy river. And there Ganga Narayan fell at the lotus feet of Narottam Das Thakur and surrendered his life. The story of the life of Sri Ganga Narayan Chakravarti is glorious. He became one of the most intimate, loving associates of Narottam Das Thakur. But how much he was criticized by the Brahmin community. Because he was from the highest possible caste of Brahmins and the greatest scholar. All the Brahmins looked up to him as their leader. And he took initiation from someone who wasn't a Brahmin. He was from a lower caste. But Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Ramchandra Kaviraj, they defended the pure principles of real Shastric evidence. That it doesn't matter what caste, it doesn't matter what birth, one who knows the science of Krishna and chants the holy name of Krishna, propagating the pure bhakti cult, he is fit to be the guru of all classes for the whole universe. So this Ramakrishna Bhattacharya, he had several sons. His youngest son was named Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti. Now Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, his wife's name was Vishnupriya Devi. And they had one daughter named Krishnapriya Thakurani. We will discuss her after some time. But he had no son. So Ramakrishna sent his own son, Sri Krishna Charan, to live with Ganga Narayan like an adopted father. Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti not only was like the own son, so much loved and cared for by Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, but he was also initiated by him. So the disciplic succession is like this. There was Lokanath Das Goswami, who was initiated directly by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who initiated Narottam Das Thakur, who initiated Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, who initiated Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti. Vishwanath Chakravarti, at that time he was still a little older, but a boy. He came and surrendered to Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti. And from him he studied the Bhakti Shastras, the teachings of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, the teachings of Kaviraj Goswami, the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his most pure understanding and realizations of Srimad Bhagavatam, the crest jewel of all Vedic literatures. Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti at that time was very old. He had a disciple whose name was Sri Radharaman Chakravarti, who was the intimate servant of his own deity, Madan Mohan. He told Vishwanath Chakravarti that you should take initiation from my disciple, because I am very old And you are very young. You should have a guru who can instruct you for many years in the future. So it is better that you take initiation from him. He studied for several years under Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti and learned from him so deeply the science of pure bhakti. And on his guru's request, he took initiation from the disciple of Sri Krishna Charan, Radharaman Chakravarti. Vishwanath Chakravarti lived and served his gurus with great humility and great attention. He would also sometimes study Srimad Bhagavatam from his brother, Ram Bhadra, who was a great scholar himself. One day, as the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam was coming to an end, Vishwanath asked his elder brother, "I have a request to make of you." At that time, Ram Bhadra said, "First you read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam again." Vishwanath said, "I already read it." He said, "You read it all the way through again." So being a humble servant, he read through reciting all the 18,000 slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. Second time. Then he made his proposal to his elder brother. The proposal was, "Please let me go to Vrindavan." When his brother heard this, he became filled with bliss. He said, "Today you have actually completed your studies of Srimad Bhagavatam. You may go immediately." And he went to his Guru Maharaj. And his Guru Maharaj ordered him, "Yes, you go to Vrindavan." Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, at that time a young man, he traveled to Sri Vrindavan Dham. What was the condition of Vrindavan at that time? When Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur arrived, he was shocked. It was so depressing, it was beyond him to bear. Lord Chaitanya, just 150 years before, personally chanted and danced through the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Then he ordered Rupan Sanatan Goswamis to excavate that place. By the power of the six Goswamis, they built beautiful temples. They excavated the holy places of pilgrimage. Soon Vrindavan became the king of all holy places. Radha Madan Mohan Temple, Radha Govinda Mandir, the most beautiful architectural achievements in the history of northern India, with such elaborate and devoted deity worship. The Radha Gopinath Temple was built, Radha Raman Temple was built, Radha Damodar Temple was built. So many beautiful, beautiful temples. The Yugalakishore Mandir, Keshi Ghat, and Sri Jiva Goswami. He expanded the glories of Vrindavan more and more after Rupan Sanatan left. And his disciples, they were the last ones to see Vrindavan in its glory. After the last disciples of Jiva Goswami gradually disappeared from this world, the great Hindu-hating Mughal conqueror, Samrat Aurangzeb, decided to destroy Vrindavan. And by doing so, it was his hope that he would destroy the Vaishnav culture. He sent his armies, his soldiers. What did they do? Their conviction was to destroy the holy murtis that the Vaishnavas were worshipping. So the major deities of Vrindavan, the devotees out of great love and devotion, somehow or other secretly transported those deities to safe places. Rupa Goswami's Radha Govinda went to Jaipur, where the king of the time was very powerful and a great Vaishnava. Radha Gopinath went to Jaipur. Radha Madan Mohan went to Jaipur, later to Karoli. Radha Damodar went to Jaipur. Radha Vinod went to Jaipur. Radha Madhav of Jayadev Goswami. Radha Vrindavan Chandra of Kaviraj Goswami. Gopal Srinathji was also taken near Udaipur to a place called Nathdwar. The Keshavaji temple in Mathura, on the site of Krishna's birthplace, was also brought to Rajasthan. When the soldiers came, they did not find the deities, but they were so angry, they completely destroyed the beautiful, opulent Keshavaji temple in Mathura at Krishna's birthplace. They demolished it. And to Radha Govinda temple, they took down the top four stories. And to practically every temple, they were defacing them, defiling them. They were murdering the pujaris. They were raping the women. They were plundering the riches of anyone who had anything of any value. They created the most horrible terrorism throughout Vrindavan. They set up checkposts with many soldiers in Gokul, Mahavan, and Mathura so nobody could somehow or other get out any deities or any wealth. They kept the Vrijavasis in total fear at all times. They destroyed everything. The whole culture built up by Rup Sanatan and their followers was devastated. This was the condition that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had found. And the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they were practically so discouraged and depressed that the reputation of their whole sampradaya was being compromised. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was such a fearless, empowered preacher, such a compassionate and loving acharya, that he made a vow that I will stay here in Vrindavan and I will restore it to the state that the six Goswamis had developed it and more. But how to do it? He was alone. Nobody there had such courage and such conviction. He was going from place to place preaching and preaching. And then one very great illustrious person happened to come to Vrindavan. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur understood, this is the man who can help me. His name was Baladev Vidyabhushan. He was a very, very great devotee from Orissa. He was of the Madhva Sampradaya. But he heard Lord Chaitanya's teachings while living in Jagannath Puri and decided to come to Vrindavan and surrender to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He became the disciple of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And between the two of them, with their influence and devotion, they restored the entire Brajbhumi. They encouraged so much beautiful construction and renovations of temples. They inculcated so much faith in the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They revived the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava culture in Vrindavan. One of the most glorious historical achievements in our entire sampradaya. The spiritual master of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, after some years, called him to come back to Devagram and Shayadabad. So in the order of his guru, he returned. When he came back, Sri Radharaman Chakravarti spoke to him, that your mother and father went through so much trouble for your marriage. They married you to a very nice young lady, but you have just left without even speaking to her in your whole life. He never spoke a word to her. Hare Krishna. So he told Vishwanath that you should spend the night tonight with your wife Vibha. So as an obedient disciple, he went to spend the night with his wife. When he went into the room, his wife was very grown up. She was so beautiful, and she was dressed in the most attractive garments. And for the pleasure of her husband, she put so many beautiful ornaments on her body. And he sat in bed with her. And all night, he just did Nam Sankirtan and preached Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy. When the sun rose, he immediately left the bed, and he went back to his guru and said, I spent the night with my wife. When Sri Radharaman Chakravarti heard what kind of a person he is, he decided that, don't worry about this marriage. I will not tolerate anyone criticizing or gossiping you. I know your spiritual position. So for some time, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur served his Guru Maharaj with great humility and faith. One time, Sri Radharaman Chakravarti gave him his own Srimad Bhagavatam. And he told Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you should copy the and make a new manuscript. To copy 18,000 slokas? And in those days, there was not paper and pens. What to speak of computers? He had to carve each letter into palm leaves. It is said that he would sit all day long and just do his guru's seva. It was the summertime. The burning heat of the summer was all around, but whenever Vishwanath was writing Srimad Bhagavatam, there was always shade just over him. Everywhere else, blazing heat. Anywhere he would sit, a shade would follow him and be over his head. One day, as he was writing Bhagavatam, there was torrents of torrential rain. It was raining so hard. But yet, where Vishwanath was sitting, he was so absorbed, he didn't even know there was a sun. He didn't even know that it was raining. He was just totally immersed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And because of that immersion, not a drop of rain touched him or his manuscripts. There was a great zamindar, or landowner, who was riding on a palanquin. And as he was riding, he happened to see this, that it's raining to the right, to the left, in front, behind, everywhere around Vishwanath, but not a drop has touched any part of his body. How is this? He was looking on in amazement. Ultimately, he got off his palanquin and started offering his repeated obeisances and worshipping Vishwanath. Vishwanath didn't even see him. He was so immersed in writing Srimad Bhagavatam. He was resolute in purpose. So he came out of his meditation on his service. But meanwhile, the zamindar went and told the whole town of people what he had just seen. And everyone was praising Vishwanath. And Vishwanath, being a humble devotee, felt very much ashamed and embarrassed to be praised by anyone. By that time, he had many disciples. and he would visit the homes of his disciples. In that area, there was one person named Vipra Jagannath, and he surrendered to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur accepted him as a very dear disciple. The son of Vipra Jagannath was Narahari Chakravarti, who was the author of the Narottam Vilas and the Bhakti Ratnakar, two of the most important of all of our Vaishnava literatures. Then one day, Sri Radharaman Chakravarti told Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that he should return to Vrindavan. Actually, during Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's first trip to Vrindavan, something very important took place. He was wandering around to the various places of Braja, seeing the condition of things. And then he met one of the greatest of all the devotees. His name was Mukunda Das. Mukunda Das lived at Sri Radha Kund. He was an intimate friend and disciple of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Day and night, Mukunda Das would study the Goswami's literature in the company of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who was the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Mukunda Das bestowed such intimate, loving mercy on Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. One day, when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was sleeping in his little kutir, he woke up in the morning, and one brahmachari came to him and gave him a beautiful deity and told him the name of this murti of Lord Krishna is Gokulananda. This brahmachari was very pure in heart, and he worshipped this deity for many years with pure unalloyed devotion. But Krishna, Gokulananda, appeared to him in a dream and told him, please present my murti to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because he is the greatest of the Vaishnavas. I desire to reciprocate with his love. So that morning, the brahmachari brought the deity of Gokulananda, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was so much surprised. He was so humble. He thought himself so unworthy. He said to the brahmachari that you are doing such beautiful seva, and I have no devotion myself. How can I worship the deity? I accept your merciful offering, but you please take the deity back and worship him to your heart's content. On the order of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the brahmachari took Gokulananda back to his small temple. That night, Krishna appeared again to the brahmachari and said, bring me back to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I want to be worshipped by him. In fact, I will appear to him in a dream tonight and order him to accept me when you give him again. So sure enough, just toward the end of the night, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had a dream where Gokulananda appeared to him and told him, please accept this seva. And just when he woke up, at that very moment, the brahmachari knocked upon his door and said, here is Gokulananda. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur began to worship with great love and attention Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. Later, that deity was established in Vrindavan by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur would travel to various places of Braja. For some time, he lived in a cave in Govardhan Hill. While he was there, Lord Sri Chaitanya personally appeared to him in a vision and explained to him how he should make commentaries on the Six Goswamis' literatures. Sometimes he lived in Yavat, one of the holy places of Sri Radharani's divine lila. Sometimes he lived in Vrindavan at the Gokulananda temple. But ultimately he settled at Sri Radha Kund. There Mukunda Das gave him such transcendentally sweet and affectionate association. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was always eager to hear from Mukunda Das. Lord Chaitanya received, while he was living in Puri, a Govardhan Shila from a sannyasi named Shankarananda Saraswati. For 2 years, Lord Chaitanya personally worshipped that Govardhan Shila. In the mood of Srimati Radharani, he saw that Shila as none different than the body of Lord Krishna. In his ecstasies of love and separation, sometimes he would put the Shila on his forehead. Sometimes he would rub to his eyes. Sometimes he would embrace him to his heart. This Govardhan Shila was at all times moistened by the tears of the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were, that and a Gunja Mala were the most priceless and dear possessions that Lord Chaitanya had. But seeing the great renunciation and devotion of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, after worshipping that Shila for 2 years, presented the Shila to Raghunath Das with the Gunja Mala. Raghunath Das Goswami, upon receiving these most precious gifts, understood that by giving me Govardhan Shila, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given me a place at Govardhan Hill. By giving me this Gunja Mala, he has given me the shelter of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Later, Raghunath Das Goswami went to Vrindavan. He lived at Radha Kund. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was his very dear associate. Raghunath Das Goswami lived exhibiting the highest symptoms of prema bhakti. And just before leaving this world, he entrusted the dear Govardhan Shila given to him by the loving hands of Lord Chaitanya to Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Kaviraj Goswami worshipped that Shila given to him by Raghunath Das as his life and soul throughout the remainder of his life. And just before his departure, he gave the Shila to Mukunda Das, his intimate disciple. Mukunda Das worshipped Giridhari, Sri Radha Giridhari. Meanwhile, the daughter of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Vishnupriya, whose name was Krishnapriya Thakurani, came to Braja. From Godadesh, she traveled to the various places of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. She was so perfectly renounced and full of bhakti. She decided, with the blessings of the Vaishnavas, to go to Vrindavan. She wandered to various holy places of Vrindavan, and then she came to Radha Kund. The Brijabasis, they had such love, they had such adoration and respect for her devotional service. They called her Radha Kundavasi Thakurani. She was so compassionate and merciful to all living beings. She served every devotee with such care. And it is explained, she saw every jivatma equally as an eternal servant of Krishna and was merciful to everyone. She was very learned, and she was the crest jewel of devotees in her own way. Krishna Priya lived in Radhakund. One day, Mukunda Das, who was at that time quite old, he ate some food that was spoiled, prasad, and he became very sick with stomach disorder. Krishna Priya came and gave him proper diet and care and personally made special natural medicines for him, and he got better. He was so impressed. He said, "This Krishna Priya, she is like my own mother. I respect her and worship her. What care, what love she had for everyone." On another day, Mukunda Das, upon seeing the superb spiritual qualities of Krishna Priya, he was praising her for her pure unalloyed devotion. "That your love for Radha and Krishna, your devotion to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, your compassion to all living beings is worshipable. Therefore, you are fit to worship the Govardhan Shila that Lord Chaitanya gave Raghunath Das Goswami, who gave to Krishna Das Kaviraj, who gave to me. With great honor, with his own hands, he gave that sacred Govardhan Shila to Krishna Priya and taught her how to worship it. It was such an honor. She worshipped that Shila with her life and soul." A few days later, Mukunda Das disappeared from this world and returned to the spiritual realm. Meanwhile, there was one very, very advanced, learned scholar whose name was Rupa Kaviraj. He was actually the disciple of Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti. In other words, he was the godbrother of the spiritual master of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And his guru loved him very much. In fact, he studied under his guru so nicely. He learned the Bhakti Shastras, he learned the Vedas. He traveled with Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti all the way to Vrindavan. And there he decided he wanted to stay and study under Mukunda Das. So his guru gave him blessings. So he remained there. And he became very famous as a speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shortly after Mukunda Das left the planet, Rupa Kaviraj, please listen carefully, this story is very important. He was about to give Srimad Bhagavatam class. At that time, Krishna Priya entered into the assembly, eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Rupa Kaviraj did not give her any attention. He completely ignored her in a way that was obviously very offensive to her. But Krishna Priya didn't mind at all. She just wanted to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. She just sat down eager to listen. And Rupa Kaviraj began to speak. He spoke for a short time. He stopped his lecture, specifically to chastise Krishna Priya Thakurani. He said, "How can you do two things at the same time?" With a very harsh and angry voice. "Your mouth is moving, you are chanting the names of Krishna. How do you expect to hear me speak Srimad Bhagavatam when you are doing like this? You cannot do two things at the same time." Krishna Priya Thakurani, she was very humble, apologetic. Please forgive me. But understand, it is the habit of my mouth to chant the holy names of Krishna. I cannot stop it from moving and chanting the names of Krishna. It is habit. However, I am listening very carefully to everything that you're saying from Srimad Bhagavatam. After she said that, he became even more angry. He was so angry he didn't even speak a word. He just sat there, fuming with rage. At that moment, he lost all his good qualities. Because he made this offense to a Vaishnavi, a Krishna conscious Mataji, because he made this aparad, Krishna withdrew all his mercy. He became contemptuous, offensive toward his guru. He rejected the instructions of his guru at that moment. He became offensive toward Vaishnavas. He became offensive toward the deity of Lord Chaitanya. He became a rascal. His heart became so polluted. He was so proud of his high learning. He became infatuated with false pride and began teaching his own versions of Vaishnava philosophy. He taught that there is no need for any rules or any regulations. There is no need to chant the holy names of the Lord. In fact, you shouldn't even chant loudly. It's against the principles. You should simply meditate on the conjugal love affairs of Radha Krishna as they are taking place in Vrindavan. And forget rules and regulations, forget Harinam, forget all these things. Such a demoniac. Adulteration of the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And yet he was presenting that this is the essence of Rupa Goswami's teachings. This man, he became so envious and so proud that soon he got indigestion. And then all of his limbs lost their luster. And then he realized, in a few days, he had leprosy. And when the people around who were influenced by him, he was actually creating a great commotion. He was converting many people to believe his ideas. But he began to suffer. And the people around realized he was a rascal and they rejected him. Then he went back to Bengal, Gaudadesh. He went to his guru's ashram, pretending to be humble, like he never did anything wrong. But everyone already knew he rejected his guru's teachings. If you reject your guru's teachings, you reject your guru. So he had no place there. He wouldn't give up his envy. He went to Orissa. And there he was preaching his nonsense. And gradually his leprosy became so bad, all of his skin was rotting, deteriorating. He suffered miserably and then he died and became a ghost. Hare Krishna. This is a true story. As a ghost, he would haunt anyone who would offend Vaishnavas. The people of Orissa, when they started getting haunted by the ghosts of Rupa Kaviraj, they realized, I must have made an offense against the Vaishnava. Someone may ask, how is it he actually was displaying symptoms of preliminary stages of love of God, and he was so learned, and he had a proper guru and everything? How could he fall into a ghostly existence? It is explained in this regard that the offending of a devotee has that power, especially a great devotee. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that anyone who is very careful not to offend Lord's servants, the Vaishnavas, that person is the most fortunate and glorious person in the entire universe. So Krishna Priya, she was a very, very great personality. And she had great love for Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. She personally presented the Govardhan Shila to him and personally instructed him how to worship. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, he worshipped Lord Chaitanya's own personal Govardhan Shila. There he wrote many wonderful books. He wrote commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. He wrote commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Some of these commentaries are worshipped for their profound and deep realizations and their precise authenticity in the line of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. He wrote a commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu. He wrote a commentary on the Ujjvala Niramani. He wrote commentary on Lagu Bhagavatamrita. These are great books of Rupa Goswami. And many other books. His writings are heralded as a very, very great foundation of our whole sampradaya. He also wrote many wonderful, wonderful songs, bhajans, and poems glorifying Guru, Param Guru, Param Param Guru, Param 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 Guru. He wrote many wonderful songs about Radha and Krishna's Leela in different times of the day, in different places. He wrote beautiful songs about Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's all-merciful glory. One time, he decided to write a commentary on the Kam Gayatri Mantra. He was studying so many different scriptures. He read in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's book that the Kam Gayatri Mantra consists of 24 and a half syllables, and they correspond to the 24 and a half moons present on the body of Krishna. It is described, his cheeks are moons and his nose is moons and his hands, he has 24 and a half moons. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was thinking, how is it? 24 and a half. So he began to study other various scriptures. And there it describes that the Kam Gayatri Mantra has 25 syllables. So he was trying to think, why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says 24 and a half and other scriptures say 25, and I can't figure out in my own calculation, it seems like 25. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is personally empowered by Lord Chaitanya. He cannot be wrong. What to do? He was studying and praying and doing bhajan to find out the answer. This is how deeply and seriously he took every aspect of Krishna consciousness. And he could not find the solution to this dilemma. So he sat at the banks of Radha Kund completely frustrated and depressed. He would not eat any food and not drink any water. He decided, if I cannot find out the answer to this, If I cannot defend Kaviraj Goswami's statement, better I die. So he decided to fast till death on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. Just after midnight, one night, by the arrangement of the Lord, he fell asleep. At that time, Srimati Radharani personally appeared to him. So beautiful, so resplendent, the fulfillment of all Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's innermost heart's desires, the personal direct darshan of Srimati Radharani. She spoke to him. The Kam Gayatri Mantra is my mantra. And please, there is a particular scripture. She told him what it was. You should read it. There it describes that when, what were the two syllables? When two particular syllables are joined together, it is considered a half syllable. And not only that, but you should know that Krishna's forehead is a half moon. Therefore, what Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is saying is perfect. Then she disappeared. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur came again to his wakeful state, and he went right to that scripture that Sri Radharani directed and found that, yes, it is a half syllable. And then he wrote his commentary of called Mantrartha Deepika, an explanation of the Kam Gayatri Mantra. When Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was very old, it is explained how Radha Govinda, the very prominent deity of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, was being worshipped in the kingdom of Jaipur, and the king was an initiated Vaishnav in the line of Lord Chaitanya. We know there's a beautiful story of how Srimati Radharani came to stand beside the deity of Govindadev. Some other devotees from other sampradayas, they began to criticize. They criticized on several grounds the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, mostly because they saw the king was so much favorable to Lord Chaitanya's devotees. They began to lodge complaints to the king and all of the great ministers. That first of all, according to Shastra, you must worship Narayan Shalagram before Krishna's deity. They are not doing that. The next thing is, they have a deity of this cowherd girl named Radha next to the deity of Govinda. This is bogus. In the Shastra, the name of Radha is not even there. She's just a cowherd girl. She cannot be worshipped with Govinda. Where else is this to be found? They were speaking with such power. And plus, this Shampradaya doesn't even have a commentary of Vedanta Sutra, therefore it is bogus. It cannot be accepted. So the poor pujaris, the deity of Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Damodar, Radha Vinod, Radha Vrindavan Chandra, they were all worshipped with Radharani in Jaipur. And the poor devotees of the Gaudiya Sampradaya were being terribly persecuted, and they didn't know what to do. So the king sent a message to Vrindavan, to the great king of all the acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, to save them and come and take part in a debate. When Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur heard this, he was so absorbed in his ecstasy of separation, he responded that actually Krishna did something and Sri Radharani wants to make him feel separation from her, that's why she's left. Because they actually had to take the deity of Radha and worship her somewhere else. That was his internal feeling. But externally, he understood we must defend the principles of real Siddhanta. Actually, in the scripture, Sri Radharani's name is mentioned in the most revered as Krishna's eternal consort. In the Padma Purana, the Skanda Purana, the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, and in Srimad Bhagavatam, the name of Sri Radha is mentioned in an indirect, actually it is direct but indirect, because Srila Shukadeva Goswami, several reasons are given. One is that Sri Radharani's name is so blissfully sacred, if he would have said the name of Radha, he may have gone into an ecstatic trance, and then he may not have been able to finish the whole Bhagavatam in 7 days before Maharaj Parikshit died. And also there were different classifications of rishis present when he was narrating Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. And some of them were not fit to hear the glorious pastimes or the name of Sri Radharani. They would not understand properly. We should speak the truths according to the particular comprehension of the audience. That is proper culture. So Radharani's name and her glories are throughout Srimad Bhagavatam in this way. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he was so old, for him to travel all the way to Jaipur was very difficult. So he sent his disciple, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, to Jaipur. When he went and he was challenged, "We will not listen to anything you say unless your sampradaya has Vedanta Sutra commentary," he prayed at the lotus feet of Govinda. And by Govinda's transcendental mercy, he wrote the Govinda Bhasya, the most transcendentally wonderful of all commentaries of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he presented that, he completely defeated and convinced all opposition. And all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas and the king of Jaipur considered this a great victory. Baladev Vidyabhushan gave all credit to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Sometimes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur would sign his books with the name Hari Ballabha. As he grew closer to his lila of disappearing from this world, he became more and more engrossed in writing beautiful poems and songs in the glorification of Guru and Krishna. Throughout Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's life, he always had such a deep, intense attraction to the congregational chanting of the holy names and to japa. He had very, very strong sadhana. His disciple, Vipra Jagannath, the father of Narahari Chakravarti, who he met in Bengal, came to Vrindavan. He was a family man. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur told him, after some time, you should go back to Bengal. So Vipra Jagannath went back to Bengal, but he couldn't bear the separation from his guru. So again he came to Vrindavan. There he served his Guru Maharaj. On the fifth day of the bright moon of the month of Magh, his beloved Gurudev, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, immersed in the divine service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Sri Gauranga, and the six Goswamis, he disappeared from this world, returned to Goloka Vrindavan. Vipra Jagannath was beside himself in grief. He wept and he cried. He could not bear life. On the full moon night, at the end of the month of Magh, in the pangs of separation from his Gurudev, Vipra Jagannath left this world. At the very moment that Vipra Jagannath left the world, his son, Narahari Chakravarti, who was then living in their home place in Bengal, he had a dream. In that dream, he saw Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was shining in his original spiritual transcendental effulgence. He was so beautiful to see. Next to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was one servant, and behind him was his father, Vipra Jagannath. Narahari Chakravarti offered his most prostrated, loving obeisances to his father and this great personality. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur intimately began to speak to him. Narahari Chakravarti writes that what he spoke to me was so full of mercy, so full of mercy, that I do not know how to even explain it. From the Shastras, these wonderful stories have been revealed to us. It is also the appearance day of Sri Raghunandan Thakur. Do we have time? I think we don't have time. Plus we want Giriraj Maharaj to please speak. Would you like to speak, please? Should I speak something on Raghunandan Thakur? It is a whole class in itself. If you would like me to speak, please say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol!
If you want me to stop, please say Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. In a place called Srikanda, there was a great Ayurvedic physician whose name was Mukunda Das Kaviraj. And he was such a good doctor that even the kings would take medical help from him. He had a brother, younger brother, named Narahari Das, who was one of the most confidential, loving servitors of Lord Chaitanya. And Mukunda Kaviraj had a son of the named Raghunandan. When Raghunandan was just a little boy, he was given the sacred thread and given the Gayatri Mantra. And soon after that, his father was called by one of the kings to perform some work. Mukunda Kaviraj was such a great devotee. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, once the king was on a high, high platform, sitting on a throne, and he was asking Mukunda Kaviraj about some medical advice. The sun was shining. One of the king's servants came with a peacock fan to shade the king from the sun. When Mukunda saw the peacock fan, he immediately thought of Krishna and went into an ecstatic trance and fainted and fell all the way down from the platform to the ground. Everyone thought, maybe he's dead. The king ran down all the way to the ground and said, Mukunda, are you all right? Mukunda gradually said, ah, yes, I am all right. What happened? Devotees never talk about their ecstasies. Devotees are humble. He said, I have a disease, something like epilepsy, and sometimes I faint like this. But the king understood that he's a great Mahabhagavat. He's a devotee of Krishna. So he said, you please go home, you can take the day off today. This was the glory of Mukunda Saraka. So Raghunandan, when his father was asked to go away, he asked his son, you please do the puja to our deities. Who knows the name of the deities? Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. Radha Gopinath ki. He told him that at noontime, you please make the offering of this bhoga food and make sure Krishna eats it nicely. So he left, and Raghunandan's mother made nice plate, and she said to Raghunandan, now you offer it to Krishna. So Raghunandan went on the altar and placed the plate of bhog down and chanted the proper mantras and asked, Krishna, please eat. Krishna ate. But Krishna, in his deity form, he eats through his glands. When we offer the deity's food, we understand, according to the Shastra, the Gurus and the Sadhus, that Krishna, he accepts not the food, but the bhakti, the devotion that goes into the food. Just by his glance upon looking at the food, he accepts the devotion, he accepts the offering, and all the food becomes Mahaprasad. It becomes surcharged with his own divine spiritual potency. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki! Prasad is so powerful because it has been glanced upon, and that glance injects spiritual grace into the food. Prasada means mercy. So Krishna ate. Meanwhile, Raghunandan was waiting. He would not leave. He said, please, Krishna, eat, eat. Then he started to cry. So the deity, seeing the love and devotion of this child, he spoke. The deity of Gopinath, he said, Raghunandan, why are you crying? Because my father told me to offer this food to you and you will not eat it. But I ate it. But it's still here. I ate it with my glands. It's prasad. He said, I'm a little boy. I don't know this philosophy of glances. My father told me that you should eat it. You haven't eaten it. Please, please, I beg you, my lord, eat this prasad. So just to satisfy his devotee, Gopinath picked up all the food with his hand and ate it all. There wasn't a morsel left on the plate. Raghunandan was very happy. He took the plate off the altar. His mother was waiting. Empty plate. The mother didn't know what. Did my son eat it right in front of Krishna on the altar? Or did some animal come on and eat it? What happened? Then Mukunda Das returned home. Mukunda is told by mother that, I don't know, but your son, he came off the altar. I put so many delicious preparations, there was nothing on it. So Mukunda Sarakar asked Raghunandan, please tell me, where did all the food go? He said, it went in Krishna's mouth. Gopinath ate it. Father said, please tell me how he ate it. At first he wouldn't eat it, but then I began to cry. And then he spoke to me and asked why, and when I told him, he ate everything. Mukunda Sarakar was a very advanced devotee, and he understood the exalted nature of his son, Raghunandan. So he said, please make the offering again. I want... So they made a laddu, and he went on the altar to make the offering. And Mukunda Sarakar was at a little distance, secretly watching to see what happens. So again, he made the offering. Again, Krishna ate it with his glance. Again, he started to cry. Again, he asked Krishna, please eat it. And right in front of Mukunda Sarakar's eyes, the deity ate. Then he realized what an exalted position his son was in devotional service. So then the news spread everywhere amongst Vaishnavas that Gopinath specifically ate all the food of this little boy Raghunandan. And the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were celebrating when they heard this news. The news came to Abhiram Thakur. Who was Sridhama, the younger brother of Srimati Radharani in Krishna's Leela. To understand the nature of this story, we have to talk something about Abhiram Thakur. He was very powerful Vaishnava. He was one of the most intimate, loving associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. In fact, he was so merciful that he had a whip that's meant to whip bulls. It was called Jai Mangala. And anyone he would touch with that whip would achieve love of God. Krishna Prem. When Srinivas Acharya came to get the blessings of Abhiram Thakur, after he pleased him, Abhiram started hitting him with the whip. Once, twice, three times. Every time Srinivas Acharya, his heart was just overwhelming with ecstatic Krishna praying. Finally, Abhiram Thakur's wife had to say, "Stop hitting him. He won't be able to control so much ecstasies. He's just a boy." Sometimes Abhiram Thakur, during the kirtans of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, in the mood of a cowherd boy, would just stand in a threefold pending form playing a flute, and he would stand there without moving for 9 hours. And all the devotees would just chant and dance around him. Another time, in the mood of a cowherd boy, he wanted to play a flute, but there was no flute around. So he ran into the forest and he picked up a fallen tree, a trunk of a tree, so big that 20 men couldn't lift it, and he picked it up and started playing it like a flute. Srila Abhiram Thakur ki. But he had another fame, that if he bowed down to a deity or a Shalagram Shila and Krishna was not personally present in it, it would just crack into so many pieces it became like powder. Hare Krishna. And if he bowed down to anyone, if that person had one speck of material desire or false ego in his heart, the person would immediately die. Abhiram Thakur ki. So when he would come and start saying Bancha Kalpa Tarubya Stat, people became very afraid. So the news came to Abhiram Thakur, who was living in his village, that Raghunandan is such a devotee that Gopinath ate his food. He decided, "I will go there, I will go to Shrikanda, and I will offer my obeisances to this great personality." And soon the news spread everywhere. Abhiram Thakur is coming to offer obeisances to Raghunandan. Mukunda Sarakar and his wife, they were terrified. "He's just a little boy. Maybe he has some little desire in him. Maybe some ego. What will happen? He will die. We have to protect him from this great Vaishnava, Abhiram Thakur." So they were so worried, the whole city of Shrikanda. "He's coming. He's closer. He's about. He's on the city limits. Everyone loved Raghunandan. What are we going to do?" So the parents decided to hide him. Hare Krishna. In the outskirts of Shrikanda, They hid him in someone's house. And Abhiram Thakur came to Mukunda Sarakar's house. Mukunda Sarakar, I want to see Raghunandan. He's not home. He didn't tell a lie. He was quite honest. He is out of town. So Abhiram Thakur decided to go just in the outskirts of Srikhanda to a beautiful little forest. And he sat in that forest of beautiful trees. Meanwhile, Raghunandan, he was so attracted to see this great personality that without anyone knowing, he escaped from the house. And he came to that little private, secluded grove of trees in the forest. And there he saw Abhiram Thakur sitting, chanting the holy names in pure love. Raghunandan, in great eagerness, approached Abhiram Thakur. Raghunandan Thakur immediately offered his prostrated obeisances to Abhiram Thakur, and Abhiram Thakur, knowing that this was the great little child Raghunandan, he offered his prostrated obeisances to Raghunandan Thakur, and Raghunandan Thakur lived! They were so happy to see each other. They both started chanting the holy names very, very loudly. They embraced one another, soaking each other with tears of love. Then they began to dance and dance and dance and dance, dancing in ecstasy together, the two of them in the forest, loudly chanting the holy names. As they were singing and dancing, the ankle bracelet that was on little Raghunandan's ankle, it broke. And the dancing was so enthusiastic that that ankle bracelet flew about 2 kilometers. And entered into a pond of water, which is to this very day one of the very sacred places of Srikhanda. And Raghunandan Thakur became very, very loved by all the devotees. He became an initiated disciple from his uncle, Narahari Sarakar. Every year during Rath Yatra, Lord Chaitanya divided the kirtan into 7 parties. One of them was the residence of Srikhanda. In that party, Raghunandan Thakur was the lead dancer. He was so very, very dear to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya once gave Mukunda, Narahari, and Raghunandan 3 specific instructions, which are very exemplary to everyone. He told Mukunda that you are a grihastha. You should earn both material and spiritual wealth. That is the instruction to all grihasthas. To Narahari, he told him, you should stay here and meet with me in Puri and you should preach Krishna consciousness. And to Raghunandan, he told him, you should serve the deity. Raghunandan worshipped the deity of Gopinath with such love. There was a kadamba tree just outside of his house. And every day, through the 365 days of the year, 2 beautiful, fragrant, blossomed kadamba flowers would be on the tree waiting for him to come and offer them to Gopinath. The There are many beautiful stories of Raghunandan Thakur. After the disappearance of Narahari Thakur Sarakar, he invited all the Vaishnavas to Sri Kanda from all directions to celebrate his disappearance festival. And how he served all the great Mahants. They just showered their blessings on him. How he sang in kirtan, how he danced, how humble he would serve everyone without any trace of false pride. Raghunandan captivated the hearts of all devotees. And during that ceremony, when all the great Mahatmas of Lord Chaitanya's associates were taking prasad, he went and offered a plate in the room where Narahari Sarakar, his guru, used to sit and do his bhajan. He had disappeared from the world. He offered the plate and he left it there. Then he went out of the room and closed the door. And after waiting for a few minutes, he opened the door, and right before his eyes, there was Narahari Sarakar in his pure effulgent spiritual form. Raghunandan Thakur prostrated obeisances with such love, such a darshan, fulfilled all the desires of his heart. Then he immediately went back to the Mahatmas and continued serving them and pleasing them. Raghunandan Thakur was one of the most exemplary, wonderful, great Vaishnavas of our line. On this holy day, we offer our respects and we worship him. Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Sri Radharani, would say, Bap Pundarik, Bap Pundarik. He considered Pundarik Vidyanidhi his own father. He was Brishabhanu Maharaj in Krishna's Leela. And later he became the dear Guru Maharaj of Srila Gadadhar Pandit. Vishnu Priya Devi is declared to be the Bhushakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She is the faithful, devoted daughter of Sri Sanatan Mishra. She was an ocean of transcendental good qualities. Every day she would go to the holy river Ganges and perform puja. Every day Sachi Devi would see her, and she was so naturally attracted to this young girl. Sachi Devi loved her so dearly. She would give her the blessing, may you have a good husband. After Lord Chaitanya's first consort, Lakshmi Devi, disappeared from this world after being bitten by the serpent of separation from Lord Chaitanya as he was away from home in East Bengal. Sachi Mata began to think that we should arrange another wife for my child, Nimai. And one day when she went to the Ganga and she saw Vishnu Priya, in her heart she thought, This is the perfect bride for my beloved Nimai. She called Kashinath Pandit, who was the Navadweep marriage counselor. He would help arrange marriages for various devotees. So Sachi Mata told the idea, and he said, this is perfect idea. I will immediately go to Sanatan Mishra's house. He went there, and Sanatan Mishra honored this great pundit with great respect. And Kashinath said that your daughter is so nice, and she's of marriageable age. And I think the most perfect husband would be Vishwambar, the son of Sachi Devi. He is an ocean of good qualities. There is no one in all creation that is worthy of your daughter except Nimai Pandit. When Sanatan Mishra heard this, he and his wife became filled with joy. Yes, yes, but will Sachi Mata agree?
She already agreed. Then let us do it immediately. So he was very happy. Very jubilantly he went back to Sachimata's house. He said, he agreed. She said, then let us do it. And then the word spread all over Navadvip that Nimai Pandit is going to marry the daughter of Sanatan Mishra, Vishnupriya. Everyone was so joyous. Let us have a grand wedding ceremony. At that time, Budhimanta Khan, who was a very wealthy man, he said, I will pay all the expenses. This will not be a poor man's wedding. This will be a wedding fit for a prince. Mukunda Sanjay, in whose courtyard Lord Chaitanya would teach grammar classes in his earlier years, and later on had wonderful kirtans there. He said, why should you be the only one to make donations for this wedding marriage? We should too. Budhimanta Khan said, I do not want this to be another poor Brahmin's marriage. I will take responsibility. The whole town of Navadvip was covered with canopies and banana tree decorations and all sorts of ornaments and auspicious paintings on the road and everything else that is done. It was grand. Music playing, dancing, beautiful palanquin brought Vishwambhar, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, to the house of Vishnupriya. There the eternal consorts were reunited in holy marriage. And everyone was simply joyful, jubilant. Lord Chaitanya was giving so many gifts to everyone. He noticed that some people were getting a gift, then they would go to the back of the line to get another gift. And some of the managers were becoming disturbed. Lord Chaitanya, he said, let everyone be satisfied. I will give everyone three gifts when they first come, so no one will want to come back for more. Let everyone, even the thieves and the dishonest people, should be so satisfied they become honest. Ultimately, the greatest gift he gave to everyone, without discrimination, is the chanting of Krishna's holy name. Vishnupriya served Lord Chaitanya with so much love and devotion. She was willing to accept any hardship to please her husband. At any time, Lord Chaitanya would bring so many guests, and she was always ready to cook. She never complained. Even Lord Chaitanya, he would be sometimes all night long at Srivas Thakur's house, all night long having Harinam Kirtan. And during the day he was out preaching. Vishnupriya was always there taking care of his widowed mother and serving him in any possible way with such a grateful and gentle heart. When the news came that he will be taking sannyas, Vishnupriya, with tearful eyes and a heart broken by the excruciating thought, she approached her Vishwambhar, that you are my life and my soul. I have nothing than you. If you leave me, then I have no reason to live. Beautiful conversation. She surrendered her heart to Lord Chaitanya with such pure devotion. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to her that she was his eternal consort and that he will always live within her heart, but that he must leave and take sannyas to show mercy to the most violent, foolish, and atheistic people in society. Vishnupriya, with a heart broken by the thought of separation, she told Lord Chaitanya, that whatever pleases you and whatever helps you in your mission, that you must do. Please. This is total surrender. So Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, and Vishnupriya was never allowed to see him again. Even though when Lord Chaitanya came to Shantipur and other places, Sachimata would go to see him, but Vishnupriya was never allowed to see him again. Day and night she just served Sachi Devi and chanted the holy names. Lord Chaitanya personally had a beautiful deity of himself carved and given to Vishnupriya to worship. And she would see her beloved Lord in the form of that murti. Every day, for every mantra she would chant, she would take one grain of rice and put it aside. And at the end of the day, whatever rice was there, she would cook it and offer it to the deity of Lord Chaitanya. And she would just take a small portion of that. She was the very embodiment of faithfulness, chastity in the highest spiritual sense of pure devotion. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from this planet, Vishnupriya was so much immersed in the ocean of separation. But when Nityananda Prabhu took Jiva Goswami to Vrindavan, how she blessed Jiva Goswami. Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, all these greatest of our acharyas, they all came to Navadvip and they fell at the feet of Vishnupriya and worshipped her. Today on this holy day, we should also fall at her lotus feet in our heart of hearts and pray for her infinite mercy, that we may too develop genuine faith and devotion in the path of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that we may also dedicate our lives in a spirit of compassion to chanting the holy names of Krishna. Now for the moment you have all been waiting for, His Holiness Srila Giriraj Maharaj will speak. Giriraj Maharaj Ki!
I would like to thank His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj for flooding us with the nectar of Krishna Katha. Krishna does not mean just Krishna alone, but Krishna includes his devotees. And actually the worship of the devotees of Krishna is even greater than the worship of Krishna himself. Lord Shiva says to Parvati, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. That of all types of worship, the worship of Vishnu is the highest. But even higher than the worship of Vishnu, Tadiyanam Samarchanam, is the worship of things connected with Vishnu, and specifically the devotees of Vishnu. So Krishna is more pleased when we glorify his devotees than when we glorify him directly. Once one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples named Guru Das was in Srila Prabhupada's room, and at the time we were staying at Marine Drive in Sexaria Bhavan, and Srila Prabhupada had his little a pair of Radha Krishna deities in the room. that she traveled with. So suddenly, Gurudas began to glorify the kirtan of one of Srila Prabhupada's other disciples named Dinanath. And then he caught himself and he said to Srila Prabhupada that, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, I've committed an offense because we're not supposed to glorify anyone in front of the deities." And Srila Prabhupada replied that Krishna is already glorified, but he takes more pleasure when his devotees are glorified. So hearing the glorification of the devotees is the highest form of Krishna Katha. When King Pratap Rudra recited Krishna Katha to Lord Chaitanya, he came to one verse, Tava Katamritam Tapta Jivanam. Tava Katamritam means the discussions of the glories of the Lord. And Tapta Jivanam means relieves the soul's burning in material existence from the fire of distress. And the last line says, Buri Dajana, that those who broadcast the message of Godhead are the most munificent. So Lord Chaitanya, hearing Gopi Gita from Maharaj Pratap Rudra, began to embrace him and say, "You are Buri Dajana, you are most munificent." So His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he is most munificent because he is giving us Krishna Katha. And just as Lord Chaitanya gave three gifts so that everyone would be completely satisfied, even the rogues and ruffians and dacoits, so His Holiness Radhanath Swami has given us three times Krishna Katha today so that we are all satisfied. So this is my few humble words. Hare Krishna.